Thanks for listening to Olathe Wesleyan Church's online teaching. This week, Pastor Janetta continues our series, Christmas Through the Eyes of Habakkuk.
Last week, Daniel began a new series for us. It was called Christmas Through the Eyes of Habakkuk. And in that first week, I listened to it several times on the website. But in that first week, we saw Habakkuk calling attention to the injustices that his own people were doing. And he was saying, God, we need you to come and do something here. He made this appeal to God to come and take care of the injustice that his own people were doing. If we go back and look at Habakkuk 1, 2, which is where Daniel was starting out, this was what Habakkuk said. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you don't listen. Violence is everywhere. I cry, but you do not come to save. But God did answer him back. God said, look around you. Here is coming the judgment for those people. Look at Habakkuk on further down, verses 6 and 7. He says, I am raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. They will march across the world and conquer other lands. They are notorious for their cruelty, and they will do whatever they like. In essence, God was saying, look, Habakkuk, bad is coming, and you're going to have to put up with more bad for a lot longer. If I was Habakkuk, even if I wasn't Habakkuk, I think this is what Habakkuk is saying next. I think Habakkuk says, oh my goodness, God, please have mercy. Have mercy. 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 That word reminds me of something that would always happen when I was a kid, and all of my siblings and my cousins would get together. I called my sister up last night to make sure I was remembering it correctly, and we got to laugh together again. But we'd all be together, and we were all pretty similar in age, and so there'd be this little contest. And we wanted to see who was going to be the bravest and who was going to be the strongest. My grandpa, a godly man, so don't get a bad picture of him in this little story. My grandpa would take your hand and he would take your finger and he'd push it in like this. And he'd push it and he'd push it and he'd push it and you'd be sitting there, you'd go, and he'd go, say calf rope, say calf rope. Where calf rope came from, I do not know. But calf rope must have been some form of the word mercy, because that's what you were supposed to do. And so we would, as kids, battle on who was going to be the one that would not say it first. Say calf rope, as your finger's getting pinched. My grandma would be off to the side, and she'd go, Glenn! Oh, Glenn! And she would say it just like that. Oh, Glenn! Please! Have mercy! Calf rope. Mercy. What's the definition of mercy? Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's own power to punish or to harm. So I look at the word mercy. When did I need mercy? When I was caught cheating on that test? Was it when my grade was just a little bit lower than it needed to be to pass? Was it when I didn't have enough money to pay my electric bill or my water bill? And you go down and you say, please, just give me a little bit longer. Maybe it was when I said something out of anger that deserved a very severe retribution. Or maybe it was when I so messed up that I couldn't even talk about it. When did you want mercy? I asked Gilbert on Friday night, Gilbert, tell me about a time when you needed mercy. And I'm thinking, I'm going to get this real juicy story, you know? And he lays there and he said, mercy. I think that mercy is only thought about when it's something so bad we don't want to talk about it. It's like, yeah, that's right. Mercy. Most of the time when we need mercy, it's because what has happened is so deep or so personal that we're too embarrassed to let anybody else know that we need mercy. When did you need mercy? I'd like to pause on that mercy word for a moment. And I'd like to look back at the very last verse that Daniel used last week. It was in Habakkuk 1:11. It says in that verse, they swept past like the wind and they are gone. But they are deeply guilty, for their strength is in their own God. Now, I need you to stop for just a second, and I want you to realize that from this verse to the next verse I'm going to show you, that some time has lapsed. That's important to keep in mind, because when we look at this next verse, you're going to see that the Israelites, whom Habakkuk had said had been doing bad things, and God, please do something about their bad stuff, and God sends a judgment to them, those Israelites underneath that judgment had been suffering a lot of horrible things. We would say life really sucked for them. And the suckiness of that life was not going to stop anytime soon. Here's what we have so far. Keep it in mind. Habakkuk speaking to God and saying, God, please, my people are acting so horrible. Do something. And God sends judgment. And now Habakkuk says in the midst of this judgment, oh my goodness, I think we need mercy. Habakkuk begins to lay out a case for why those people and him need God's mercy. A case for mercy. Undeserved, but so desperately needed. Hence begins this next passage. When we look at it, verse 12. Habakkuk is going. Remember, he's laying out his case. Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, you will never die. In those two lines right there, Habakkuk is saying, look, God, as my foundation for my request for mercy, I'm saying you are everlasting. And you are my holy God. It's my foundation. Then he goes on. You, Lord, have appointed those people to come and execute judgment. You, God, are my rock. And you ordained them to punish. God, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Habakkuk stops and he's like, God, you're holy. You're too pure to look on evil. So then exactly why? Comes the next thing. Why then do you tolerate this treacherous? If you're pure, if you're holy, you can't look on evil. Why? Oh, and by the way, you're my God. Why are you allowing this to happen? Habakkuk was appealing to God based on the fact that what the Israelites had done was not near as bad as what these Babylonians were doing. Look, God, give us mercy. No matter how you want to look at it, we weren't as bad as they are. Reminds me of kids in preschool. One bites. You know, Freddy goes and bites somebody, and you come after Freddy. Freddy, what are you doing biting? Yeah, but look what he did to me. That's how I think it looks. God, please, we need mercy. And he goes on, another why. Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those who are more righteous than themselves? We're better people, God. Why are you letting this bad stuff happen to us? We're better than they are. Then Habakkuk goes on to give a picture of what they feel like as these people who are getting hurt. He says to them, to God, you have made people like the fish in the sea, like the sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls all of them up with hooks and catches them in his net and gathers them up in his dragnet, and so he rejoices and is glad. In other words, God, we are acting like people with no brains. We are just floating around here, and we're letting whatever these evil people want to do to us, do. And those evil people are gathering us all up, and they're putting us in the net, and they take it over there, and they enjoy all of the stuff, and they do whatever they want with us, and then they come and they get more, and then they get more, and they get more. It never stops. It never stops. They are partying over the evil that they are doing. God, we deserve better than this. We deserve better than this. On top of those actions, Habakkuk says, God, those people, besides all of this, those people are finding strength in themselves and not even in you. Look at this next verse. Therefore he, that's those bad people, sacrifices to his net, that's his God, and burns incense to his dragnet, for by his net, what he thinks is his God, he lives in luxury and enjoys food. In other words, why we are over here in the yuck, in the fear, in the pain, and in the trouble. Evil is rejoicing and partying. Verse 17 says, is he, last question, is he to keep on emptying his nets and destroying nations without mercy to us? He ravages the people. He steals. He rapes. He kills. Then he goes out and he does it again and again and again. And he just celebrates all of the evil that is done. It never stops. The evil never stops. That reminds me of today. I feel in that very same spot that Habakkuk was describing today. Evil surrounds us, and it seems to be just being able to get by. Where's God? There's some graphic pictures that are going to come up, so please, if you have little ones, turn them away. I looked at this. Here's ISIS that goes on and on and on, creating fear, doing havoc. The atrocities just go without saying. It's awful. Then on Friday, November the 13th, while people were just celebrating a night out in restaurants and in the theaters, nothing special, just celebrating, 128 people were killed, creating fear. Why, God? Why the evil? Why? Then this Monday, out on the U.S. passport at immigration travel, they issued a warning. It said it like this. We want you to consider very carefully whether you should go to any country at all, creating fear, evil. God, we're not as bad as they are. Why? Then this morning, I'm going to one more. San Bernardino on Wednesday at a small little company party. No big deal. 14 dead, 21 injured. Now this morning, 2 people shot about 3 blocks apart on 85th Street. Apparently no reason. Then that brings me to this. This is Davy Amanda, 15-month-old now, Weston Blackburn. Davy's parents grew up behind me. His mom and dad, not then, not married because they were kids, would come over to our house and my mom would give them piano lessons in the mornings on Saturday. Both of their families were great, godly, serving God people. And they raised godly kids who raised godly kids. Davy was in a very prestigious staff job in South Carolina at a very large church. The pastor's name was Perry Noble, if anybody wants to look it up. But he felt called to step out from that really big thing and plant a church in a little suburb in the city of Indianapolis. On November the 10th, by the way, Amanda was 12 weeks pregnant. On November the 10th, Davy left, went to the gym, and somewhere between 6 o'clock and 8:20, 3 young guys from 18 to 21 broke into her house and to rob them. 2 of them left, 1 stayed, and as far as we know, drastically attempted to rape her, starting out by hitting her in the face, knocking out a tooth, then shot her 3 times, once in the back, once they think in the side, and once in the back of the head. The reports say that the person that shot her in the head leaned over her and watched her bleed out. Davy came back from the gym and found his wife. I want to read you what Davy said. Though everything inside me wants to hate, be angry, and slip into despair, I choose the route of forgiveness, grace, and hope. Choosing to let my emotions drive my decisions is a recipe for a hopeless and fruitless life. Today, I am deciding to love, not hate. Today, I am deciding to hope, not despair. By Jesus' power at work within us, the best is still, and he capitalized it, is still yet to come. Even when I don't see it, I believe it to be true. That is God's mercy in action. This week, as I was reading more from Davey's writing daily. And looking at the San Bernardino stuff, I was feeling so sad. So sad. And a friend of mine posted this poem on the website. It's a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And in despair, I bowed my head. "There is no peace on earth," I said, "for hate is strong, and it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." That poem describes how I felt. I then went back to Scripture, and I looked at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. "I will stand at my watch. I will station myself on the ramparts. I will," okay, that's not the right word. "I will look." That is terrible. I had somebody even look at it. "I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint." Okay, watch. Here's Habakkuk. Habakkuk is saying to God, "God, you answered me before. In the midst of all this stuff, you're going to answer me again. You are eternal, and you will not, even though I don't see it, let evil win." You see, our posture in waiting for God's answers matters. It's totally okay to question God. We see the examples in Habakkuk. It's totally okay to complain and get angry at God. We saw Habakkuk do that. But there's more. There's more. It's remembering that God is God. There's a second stanza to that poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. It's this: "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." What I saw in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, is that Habakkuk knew this, that his God wasn't dead, and that he would prevail. He had the position of saying, "God, in the midst of this yuck, you are God. You are God. You are God." You're God. We are all in positions in our life of times that we wait. And it's not fair. It's ugly. We see evil. How you wait matters. Waiting for spouses to come to know Lord. Waiting for tests to be passed. Waiting for God's presence to show up when you don't feel it. But remember what Davy said? Don't let your emotions rule the day. Go back to what's truth. God is God. Come hell or high water, God is God. Habakkuk says, wait. And remember, God is God. We all need mercy. At different times in our life, we all need God's mercy. I want to play the song that took this poem and made it into one. It's a beautiful song.
But during that time, I want you to pray that you can have the same posture that Davy, who has lost his wife, is exemplifying. That Habakkuk, who was living in the atrocities of the evil, that the people that we see in other parts of the world that still serve God, even though their dangers are amazing, that they live saying, God is God, and good will prevail. We have a great altar. If you want to just come lay your things right here, you want to pray at your table, your chair, I just want us to have a posture of saying, God hears my questions, my anger, my fears. Help me to wait on you.
Bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet their songs repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And the bells despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth. We'll be right back. on earth. Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
What's amazing is that was written in a very wartime. It wasn't written during everything being peaceful. I look at Habakkuk, it's written during really bad time, not written when things are all peaceful. I look at us and things aren't peaceful. We've got racial stuff. We've got sad immigration issues. We've got kids that aren't walking with God. We've got divided families. We've got economy that we don't know what's going to happen. We got the worst insurance I've ever had in my life, which isn't a big deal. We got people dying because of God. Yet, we're to open our hearts inside and not go with our emotions, but live life on our truth. God is God. Good will win. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you will help us as a people to be reminded to have the posture that Habakkuk had waiting for your mercy, for your stuff, for your wisdom to show through. That we can have the truth so embedded in us that we can be like David was, saying, I don't have to go on my emotions, even though all around me my world has totally collapsed, but I can stand on the truth that the best is yet to come. God, help us to so fall in love with you that no matter what comes our way, our foundation goes back and says, you are my God. This time of the year, help us to constantly remember, you are our God. And in your time, you show us mercy. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you have given us. In your name, Lord, I pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Olathe Wesleyan Church's online teaching. To learn more about us, visit us at www.olathewesleyan.org or visit us on Sunday morning at our 10:30 a.m. worship service. Thanks again.